Thank you all for joining us here at I-80 Sports NHL, where today we are giving you all the details for this upcoming NHL season, as well as more news, notes, and World Juniors updates. Thank you all for joining us here again at I-80 Sports. Make sure you follow us at our website at i80sports.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at i80_sportsNHL, which the dream is alive as of right now. Last time I checked, which was this afternoon, I haven't checked in about an hour or so. We are sitting at around 493 followers on Twitter, which I'm hoping we can get that up, you know, before the end of this year. My goal is 500. You only need a couple more people. So if you're currently sitting out there listening and you're not following on Twitter and you have a Twitter account, I don't know what you're doing here. You should go and follow us and then come right back. Okay, welcome back. So anyway, I'm Brian. He's Tom. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. We have it's positivity all around, you know, a lot of good things coming up and a lot of good things going on right now. And I'm doing something right now that I haven't done since we started back in the summer. I'm watching a live game while recording. I'm watching Sweden versus Austria at the world famous World Junior Championship right now. And I love it.
I love it too. And certainly the World Juniors has been fun to watch so far. And we are on the brink of the start of the NHL season, which we're going to be giving you the details for that today, as well as give you a couple little updates around the World Junior circuit as well with that tournament, and give you some other news and notes from around the league, because we had a couple little goings-ons around the league this week. It actually was a little bit of a busy NHL week, which was actually great. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Let's start first and foremost with World Junior updates. Now, if you were watching the exhibition games that led up to the beginning of the tournament, Team Canada took quite a blow, and a rough Chicago Blackhawks summer only gets rougher as Canada captain and Chicago center Kirby Dach is out for the rest of this tournament. And as it turns out now, he's going to be out 4 to 5 months of the regular season, which is basically going to be the entire regular season, with a fractured wrist. Now, when this happened, Tom and I were watching this at the same time. Tom, what was your reaction when you saw that play?
You know what? It was a little bit of a weird play because it looked like he just ran into somebody, and the next thing you know, he was holding his wrist and getting off. Yes, it didn't really look like a blatant, like an obvious injury at first. And when I saw him go off, I just thought, okay, maybe they're taking him off for precautionary reasons, you know, so he doesn't risk hurting himself any further. I really didn't think it was going to be a 4 to 5 month injury. It's a huge blow for Canada, huge blow for the Blackhawks, and it kind of makes me, and I don't want to say I'm happy that somebody got hurt, but it makes me a little happy that the Rangers chose to not send Lafreniere and not send Kako. You know, it makes me a little happy that those guys weren't there, because could you imagine this Team Canada with Lafreniere? They'd be even more lethal, but, you know, that easily, if Lafreniere was on the ice, that could have easily been him in that first game.
And I'm thinking to myself, as a Devils fan and representing hard as I usually do, if Jack Hughes had went to the World Junior Tournament this year, I think I would have been a little bit nervous throughout. And I'm breathing a sigh of relief that he did not, and that he's preparing for the NHL season. But certainly for a player like Kirby Dach, I mean, this was definitely going to be a big tournament for him. This was going to be a big opportunity for him to showcase his skills, as well as the many other plethora of talent on that Canada team. But, you know, on behalf of I-80 Sports, we certainly do wish Kirby Dach a good recovery. We hope he comes back sooner rather than later and better than ever. He was supposed to slot in the top six for Chicago this year, but Chicago's going to have to figure it out. They might need to pull somebody from either the AHL, or they might need to go out and try to sign somebody. Now, speaking of signings, we had a couple signings happen over this course of this week. Couple notes of free agency signings. Eric Halla has signed with Nashville on a one-year deal. Goalie Craig Anderson has signed with Washington after it was announced that Henrik Lundqvist will miss the entirety of this season. Mike Hoffman signed a PTO with St. Louis, which I'll get into in a second. And as recently as about 24 hours ago, Corey Perry has signed a one-year deal with the Montreal Canadiens. Now, the most interesting note here is Mike Hoffman on a PTO. But before, you know, people start diving in on the, you know, this is what he gets for waiting so long. Now he's only got a PTO. It's not a guaranteed contract. Relax. St. Louis is trying to figure out their cap situation, so that way he will probably get a one-year deal, if not from them, from somebody else within the league, because it's obviously not a guaranteed contract at the moment, but the Blues are trying to figure out that cap situation. Tom, any particular signing here that sticks out to you?
You know what? The Corey Perry one, though, is just a little bit, you know. I feel like Corey Perry is turning into the Ilya Kovalchuk now. He's just jumping around teams, and whoever will take him will take him. I feel like Perry's a good depth signing for the Habs for now. I don't know if he'll be there all year. He may be another guy that after the way he played for the final, the way he played for Dallas in the finals, whereas if Montreal is out of the playoff picture at the deadline, which I do think they will be, I could see a contender maybe taking a flyer on him at the deadline just to, you know, just to kind of, you know, beef up their bottom six a little bit. You know, is Corey Perry the player he once was? No, but, you know, he's still a serviceable guy if you put him in your bottom six.
Yeah, he's a guy that can plug in the bottom six and do just fine. He gets the job done. He still has a scoring touch to him at his age, but certainly that's not where his value is. His value is as a mentor in that locker room, as well as an agitator of sorts, as he did very well this year for a lot of teams and in the playoffs as well with the Dallas Stars. Now, also moving on to other moves that happened around the league, before we get back to World Junior updates, we have a couple trades that happened as well. The Arizona Coyotes traded Derek Stepan to the Ottawa Senators for a 2021 conditional second round pick. And to me, Tom, this kind of signifies the beginning of the fire sale early for Arizona. Is that a bit of an indication for you too? Or do you see something different?
No, I sort of agree with you on that one. Stepan is, you know, he's 31 years old now, but you know what? It does help Ottawa a little bit in the fact that he's 31, he's a veteran, and if you remember, I'm going to use like a football analogy here for all my New York Giant fan friends out there. When Eli Manning had first come onto the scene, they had Kurt Warner starting a quarterback so Manning could learn, and I kind of think that they're going to use Stepan as a little bit of a buffer there as a first-line center to maybe start the season off until Tim Stutzla, you know, figures it out. For those who have watched Stutzla, I'm going to just bring this up now. He signed his entry-level contract the other day, and Stutzla's been playing very well at the World Juniors. Obviously, you're not going to put all the pressure on his back to start. Stepan's a little bit of a buffer there. When Stutzla figures it out, you have a nice second line option behind him in the center.
Yeah, he's a good rental for Ottawa. I think he's going to fit into that middle six pretty nicely for this year. But Ottawa wasn't done wheeling and dealing, as it turns out, because the Ottawa Senators then acquired defenseman Braden Coburn, forward Cedric Paquette, and a 2022 second-round pick in the NHL draft from the Tampa Bay Lightning in exchange for forward Marian Gaborik and goaltender Anders Nilsson. So in case anybody was wondering, yeah, apparently Marian Gaborik was still on contract with somebody. I knew he was, but I honestly forgot with who. But it should also be noted that Gaborik and Nilsson will not play this upcoming season. They have been placed on long-term injury reserve, LTIR, as it stands for. It's a cap competence move by Tampa Bay. It's so that way they can get under the cap as much as they can, and so that Ottawa can hit the cap floor. But overall, I really like this move for Ottawa. They get a second-round pick back that they dealt in the first place for Derek Stepan, and they also get a little bit of depth in Braden Coburn and Cedric Paquette. Tom, what do you think on both sides?
I mean, obviously it's a cap dump for Tampa. They were really hard up against it. They're the defending champions, you know, and unfortunately, as of late, that just seems to happen with every team that wins. They always seem to have to make these tough decisions after you win a Stanley Cup. It's just the reality of the world we're living in with the NHL right now. You know what? And again, Ottawa, it addresses some depth. You know, you can play Paquette at center in your bottom six. Obviously, you're going to have Stutzla and Stepan ahead of them. And Colburn's a good defenseman there to have maybe as your on your top pair or your middle pair. So I do like that. I think it helps out both sides. Like I had predicted earlier in our division previews, I think Ottawa, I don't know if Ottawa will make the playoffs, but I do think Ottawa's going to surprise some people this year. I really do. I think they're going to play some solid hockey, and this might be one of the reasons why.
Absolutely. I think overall, Ottawa has been getting it right. I was talking on Twitter this past weekend that I couldn't believe that I'm actually saying this, but Pierre Dorion is actually making some really nice moves out in Ottawa over the past little while now, and I really like how Ottawa could potentially look in this upcoming season. So it'll be interesting to see once the regular season does begin. A couple other quick notes before we hop back into some World Junior updates. NBC is going to televise the NWHL, the National Women's Hockey League, games and tournament in February, which is going to be awesome. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago that we really were hoping that the women would get showcased in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, that dream has now become a reality. If you really, you know, if you have the chance to actually go and watch this in February, look for those dates. We'll certainly give you those dates once they do come out of how to watch that. And we certainly will be tuning into it as well. It's a great league. It's competitive hockey. It's awesome. You need to go and check that out. And then lastly, the offside rule in the NHL has been changed for this upcoming year, and it is effective for this upcoming year, where a player's skate does not need to be touching the blue line when the puck officially crosses. Tom, do you agree with this change?
You know what I do? I'm hoping that this will decrease some of these coaches' challenges with these offsides. I know that they're trying their best to decrease that. I'm hoping that this will decrease a little more. Offsides is a funny rule. It really is. It's something that, you know, if missed, it can really mean a big thing. There's still Flyer fans crying foul about 1980 about how one of the Islanders' goals in that cup clinching game was offsides. But, you know, I hope that this will decrease some things. But you know what? I can see there's still going to be people complaining about this once the season starts, guaranteed.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, it's going to be difficult to kind of appease NHL fans from time to time, especially when it comes to from team to team. But I think this is a good rule change for the better overall. Before we dive into the regular season details, Tom, I'm going to let you take it away with some World Junior updates just to give us a quick rundown of some interesting scores, some interesting notes that you have seen around the World Junior tournament. Take it away, Tom.
All right. Well, to start out, before I go over what happened over the weekend, I don't know if you guys saw me cringe just now. It looks like Lucas Raymond went off the ice for Sweden. Looks like he took a hit to the head on the boards. I don't know if it's a concussion. I don't know what it is. They took him off. I guess we'll find out more as the night goes on, but it did not look good. Some other things to address. Team Canada, who were the odds-on favorite and are beyond stacked, they showed that on Saturday night with that 16-2 win over Germany. But one thing I'll say about that game is this. Germany, even though they were shorthanded, those guys played till the end. Tim Stützle played his heart out, 110% all three periods, getting in guys' faces, trying to make moves, trying to keep them in the game. Buffalo fans also, you know, Ottawa fans will be happy. Buffalo fans with J.J. Paterka, he had himself a hell of a game. Back to Team Canada, though, last night I thought that they would continue on their tour retreat against Slovakia, who them and Switzerland kind of looked even on Friday afternoon. Well, they had a tight 3-1 win last night against Slovakia, so those guys are human after all. The U.S. kind of night and day as well. They laid an egg on Christmas night against Russia. Spencer Knight didn't have his best game. He didn't. They lost, you know, they lost 5-3. They were down 4-1 for a while. They didn't have a good game. They redeemed themselves with an 11-0 blowout over Austria. Sweden, who I was speaking about before and I'm speaking about now, I thought that they were going to struggle big time in this. 7-1 win on Saturday against the Czechs. And I thought, wow, the Czechs might be a team that's going to be going home early. Well, they shut me up last night with that 2-0 win over Russia, and they sort of did a, I'm going to use a soccer term, a bunker encounter or a park the bus here. They scored both their goals off of odd man rushes against the Russians, and they were literally celebrating like they won the gold medal afterwards. So you know what? That gives us, if you can believe it right now in Pool B, we have a four-way tie for first place with the U.S., Russia, Sweden, and the Czechs. Obviously, right now, Sweden is playing Austria, and they're up 3-0, but with that injury to Raymond, it doesn't look good for Sweden. They've had a black cloud over them to the beginning. And if I was Swedish or I was a Sweden supporter, I'd really hope he's okay.
Yeah, I certainly hope for the best there. I actually wasn't keeping up with that game, but that definitely does sound like a scary moment. And hopefully Lucas Raymond is able to come back onto the ice and finish out either the game or even come back for this tournament if the worst case scenario is the worst case scenario. Now, we are going to be diving into the 2020 and 2021 restart details for this upcoming NHL regular season. Now, a couple things to get out of the way first, besides the fact I'm dying. Anyway, it's going to be a 56-game regular season, as it has been announced. That might be a detail that you already know. Fun little fact here. 116 consecutive days of NHL games are upon us, which is going to be awesome. It's going to be fantastic. There's going to be a game every night for 116 days straight. So if you're a hockey fan in general, you're going to be really happy with that. Now, what I'm going to do to make life a little bit easier on all of us, so that way we're not plucking all this information out of the air. So I went and found some infographics straight from the NHL itself that we're just going to look at together right now. So without further ado, first let's start with a statement from the NHL commissioner Gary Bettman on the 2020 and 2021 regular season. Quote, "The National Hockey League looks forward to the opening of our 2020 and 2021 season, especially since the return to play in 2019-2020 was so successful in crowning a Stanley Cup champion. While we are well aware of the challenges ahead, as was the case last spring and summer, we are continuing to prioritize the health and safety of our participants and the communities in which we live and play. And, as was the case last spring and summer, I thank the NHLPA, particularly Executive Director Don Fehr, for working cooperatively with us to get our league back on the ice. So, that being said, what are some need-to-know things for this upcoming year? Where will games be played this season? In reaching agreement on the format for the 2020-2021 season, the NHL and NHLPA determined that the ongoing closure of the U.S.-Canada border required realignment, and the league and the players also sought to minimize team travel as much as possible by shifting to exclusively intra-divisional play. Now, if you're not clear on what intra-divisional play means, it means that if you're a team in the East, you're only playing teams in the East. If you're a team in the West, you're only playing teams in the West, so on and so forth. It is the current plan to play games in the home arenas of participating teams, while understanding that most arenas will not, at least in the initial part of the season, be able to host fans. However, depending on prevailing conditions both in local markets and across North America, the league will be prepared to play games in one or more, quote, neutral sites per division should it be necessary. So a lot of information to unpack there in a second. This continues on with where games are to be played. Basically the same information. Some critical dates to keep in mind for this upcoming season, so that way we can keep track of the bigger dates. So December 31st, which is only a few short days away, training camps open for the 7 non-playoff teams from 2019 and 2020. January 3rd, training camps open for the remaining 24 teams. And probably the one date that we all have on our mind right now, January 13th, the 2020 and 2021 regular season begins. Now, we don't have our next major date until April 12th, which this is a big one. The trade deadline, which is set for 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, if you're on one of our fans on the West Coast. May 8th is the last day of the regular season. Now, the next two dates that we're going to be talking about, May 11th and July 9th, are subject to change depending on how the season shakes out and also how the playoffs shake out. May 11th is tentatively the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. July 9th is the last possible day of the Stanley Cup final. Well, now, that one's tentative only because it could end before then. It could very well end before then.
Can I just chime in real quick? How would it be to see the Stanley Cup get awarded on the 4th of July?
Now, that would be amazing if that could happen. Yeah. That would be absolutely bonkers. July 17th is the deadline for protection lists for the expansion draft, which is 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And lo and behold, July 21st is the expansion draft for the Seattle Kraken, set for 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm assuming that NBC or NHL Network will be covering that live. Don't quote me on that. We'll figure that out once the details do come out. July 23rd will be the first round of the NHL draft. July 24th, the very next day, will be rounds 2 through 7 of the NHL draft, so the remainder of the draft. And then July 28th is officially the beginning of free agency for restricted free agents and unrestricted free agents, and that opens at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as per usual. And whew, that's a lot to unpack, especially in July. July is going to be a busy month for the NHL, which normally isn't that bonkers busy, but we'll get into that in a second. Now, you may be wondering, well, Brian, Tom, what do the divisions look like? Well, I'm glad you asked, because these are the divisions as it holds right now. Now, you may see on your far left at the moment the North Division, and you might notice, hey, Those are all the Canada teams. That's because it is the All-Canadian League. So Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, and Winnipeg are all in the same division. And each team will meet 9 to 10 times. So if you're a fan of that Calgary-Edmonton rivalry, hold on to your hats. That's going to be quite the games to watch. In the West, Anaheim, Arizona, Colorado, Los Angeles, Minnesota, San Jose, St. Louis, and Vegas. In the Central Division, Carolina, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Detroit, Florida, Nashville, and Tampa Bay. And then lastly, in the East, we have Boston, Buffalo, New Jersey, the New York Islanders, the New York Rangers.
Let's go Rangers.
The Philadelphia Flyers, which you can both agree on, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Washington Capitals. And like I was alluding to before, how often will each team see each other this season? Each team in the East, Central, West, and North divisions will play each other in its division 8 times, while each team in the North division will play each other in its division 9 or 10 times. Now, they'll see each other 9 or 10 times only because of how short that division is. How limited they are in terms of the teams in that division. So those are the details for this upcoming season. Now, like I said before, there is a lot to unpack with that, and it was quite the run to get through all of that information. Tom, what information to you kind of sticks out as things to kind of keep track of for this upcoming season? Really important news in this.
It's really, with me, it's like the amount of times teams are playing each other. You know, there's times where you have like a juggernaut team and just a team that might not be a juggernaut team or a bubble team kind of has their number. Well, now you kind of, now like for, you know, these juggernaut teams, you got to worry about that a little more because the teams in your division are the only teams you're seeing. So if you're like, say, the Boston Bruins, where everyone is predicting to finish first, I don't know how that's going to happen because I think they really took a step back. Like now they have to worry about a team, say, like, I don't know, say, like if the Rangers have their number or Buffalo has their number and then you're losing games to them. But if those are the bulk of the games you're losing, that might mean the difference between first place or might mean the difference between making the playoffs or not. So, I mean, it's going to be very tight. It really is going to be like an all year playoff, basically. It's going to be, you know, to me at least.
Oh, yeah, no, and I completely agree. And I think one thing that kind of sticks out to me that's interesting is particular teams that are going to be playing in what division. Now, for the West, not a lot changes. The West, pretty much par for the course. There's really not much that needs to be changed in the West. I think we still have, for the most part, our usual suspects, minus two Canadian teams. The Central is where it's interesting to me, because you are moving Columbus and Carolina from the East into that Central division.
And Tampa Bay, Florida as well.
Tampa Bay and Florida as well. And what is interesting to me is particularly Carolina being... Carolina and Tampa Bay being those bigger fish in what looks like a kind of shallow pond. Like, you look up and down that list, Chicago, not as strong as they normally have been. Dallas, not a bad team at all. Detroit, yeah, I mean, there's really not much to be said. Florida, they can be strong. I don't know if I fully believe in them. Nashville, wild card. But Carolina and Tampa Bay being in those divisions are interesting. Columbus being a potential spoiler in that division is also interesting to me. And then obviously also in the East, moving Boston over to that division, you know, where you have some teams that are now going to have to compete with Boston that they never have before, between New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Islanders, Rangers, Washington. It's going to be rough having Boston in the East and having to see them 8 times. That's going to be tough.
The thing with Boston is, though, it's they really started coming back down to earth last year in the playoffs. I'm not so sure if this year's iteration of the Boston Bruins that you're going to see are going to be the same team that you've seen the last 2 years.
That's fair. That is fair. And I also have Boston kind of pegged as my one team that could fall off a cliff this year. But it is left to be seen. And next week we will be going into our favorites in each division. The other thing I also want to mention, an all-Canadian league really excites me, especially with the fact that they'll meet 9 to 10 times each. Like I alluded to before, that Calgary-Edmonton rivalry, that's going to be fun to look for. The Montreal-Toronto rivalry is also another fun one. So there's going to be – it's going to be an interesting and fun league up and down the board.
Don't forget don't forget Toronto and Ottawa. It's going to be fun seeing Stutzle and Matthews lining up against each other.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be fun as well. So before we wrap up for today with these division details, the last thing I wanted to go over is thoughts about the format as well as what could stick beyond this year. One thing that needs to be mentioned as well is how the playoffs will work, which was not mentioned in the details above, because you're probably thinking to yourself, how do the playoffs work? So the top four teams in each division will qualify for the playoffs. The first round is the division round, where the number one team in the division plays the number four team in the division, and number two plays number three. After that round, the four teams that advance on both sides of each bracket then get reseeded based on regular season point totals, where number one plays number four, number two plays number three. So it's the second round is when you see teams mixing again. And it's interesting because I don't know. I don't know if this is something that could stick beyond this year. But Tom, what do you think? Do you think there's any possibility of a format like this sticking?
You know what? I do. I actually really like this. And I remember, and I know I had alluded to this maybe last week or the week before. I remember about 10 or so years ago when Atlanta had moved to Winnipeg, and that was going to throw the balance off. And because they had moved to Winnipeg, they were going to need to realign because obviously, you know, you had Winnipeg in the East for 2 years only because of the lockout. But anyways, back to my point. There were rumors of them talking about doing four independent conferences, doing the 1-4 playoffs, and then the four winners coming out of that and playing for the Stanley, and, you know, playing in the Stanley Cup semifinal and Stanley Cup final. It's going to be done this year, and you know what? If it works well, I really think they should keep it. I mean, maybe it is time to retire the East and the West and do four independent conferences and do it that way. I don't think any sport has done it that way, any sport, at least on this side of the ocean. It actually used to be a thing in Brazil and Germany with the respective soccer leagues because the countries were so big and the travel was so hectic. They used to actually have like state or regional leagues, and the winners of those leagues would meet for a national championship each year. And a thought that I might have had that I don't know if this is even feasible is maybe next year do eight divisions of four and then have the top two make the playoffs, the top two play a knockout round, and then you have the remaining eight teams seed them 1-8 and then really do it, you know? Because how many years growing up in the 90s you'd have Detroit and Colorado just battling each other in that Western Conference final. And then your Eastern Conference final would be like Washington and Buffalo, two upset specialties. Or, you know, like it makes a little more sense to do it that way. And then maybe you can see like your two best teams playing for the Stanley Cup. One of the biggest complaints about Stanley Cup finals over the years has been you really never have your two best teams playing. So maybe this way it'll work, or maybe my crazy cockamamie theory will happen next year. Just a thought I had. Whether it will happen, I don't know. But I really do like this 1-4 seeding in the finals instead of having a geographical Eastern and Western Conference final. Every team's got their own flights now. Every team flies privately. They have their own planes. Why not? Why not do it that way? And I mean, come on. Wouldn't it be cool to see a Boston-Toronto final? I mean, that would be awesome. You know, you see them duke it out in the first round of the year. You're duking it out now for the greatest trophy in sports. And it's an old original six rivalry. I would love to see that. Just my thoughts.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it is a format that definitely does have probably the greatest chance amongst the entire league of all the new league details for this upcoming year, for the shortened season. I think this one probably has the greatest chance of sticking beyond this year. But it's going to depend on how successful it is and how successfully it works out. It's all going to depend on how this season shakes out. Hopefully, you know, safety truly is of utmost importance, and I really do hope that the players stay safe throughout this season and we don't have any form of stoppage issues for this upcoming year, and we'll get to see how this new format looks. But what do you guys think? You know, do you agree with our opinions based on how the format looks? Do you agree with our opinions from the early news and notes from before as well? Make sure you hit the like button on this video. Make sure you comment down below as well if you do want to have a conversation with us. And you can catch us every single Monday night for your NHL and USA Hockey news and notes. But most importantly, with the upcoming year coming to a close, I just wanted to stop real quick and say thank you guys for watching us since the beginning of August. And it's been a blast so far, and I have so many awesome ideas for this upcoming year and other twists and turns that could be coming along the way. And we're more motivated more than ever to put out great content for you guys. Tom, I know you share the same exact sentiments as well.
Without a doubt, definitely.
We are just so looking forward to growing even more with you guys. And it's because of you guys that we're growing in the first place. So everybody else in the community and I-80 Sports, amongst all of I-80 Sports, thank you guys so much for supporting us over this year. And we have seen so much growth in so little time. I know, especially with a full year under our belt, there's going to be even more growth and a lot more exciting content coming your way in the upcoming 2021 calendar year. But the only way you're going to catch us with that is if you follow us on i80sports.com, if you follow our YouTube page and Facebook group as well, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at @i80_sportsNHL. Our first little plan is to hit you guys with a listener fantasy hockey league. So look out for that at the beginning of 2021. But most importantly, thank you guys so much for always supporting us and watching our videos. And we hope that you guys get to watch more of our videos in the future. I've been Brian. He's been Tom. This has been i80 Sports NHL. And we'll see you in 2021.